Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, we did the episode that focused on time management of, you know, a handful of episodes back. I still get an earful, as that was the episode where, in my wife's words, he bashed me the entire show.
I think actually her words were, he threw me under the bus.
Under the bus. I didn't want to get too graphic, but I've got you to back me up now, because you're going to discuss a value of time with regard to how small increments of time can alter the course of our future. So you're giving me some ammo here to back me up as I guess throw my wife under the bus again this episode. But along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We're hanging out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to There radio show. Subscribe on iTunes or listen to all the episodes right there at journeytothere.com. Tracy, you're my hero today, because you're going to provide me all the proof. All the proof as to why procrastination is not our friend, and why I was not picking on my wife during that earlier episode, which she won't leave alone.
Okay, ladies, so here lies the problem men. They always looking for some ammunition against us, but we always win, whatever.
How does this turn into a guy-girl thing, a man-woman
well,
thing?
Well, all I have to say is you started it, but I'm going to win it. No, that is not our topic today. But
I started
but our
it. I'm going to finish it.
Yes. However, our topic today actually has a hint of winning to it, but the winning part comes from several suggestions, tweaks, what to do's, what not to do's, that are all focused around the four-letter word, time.
Oh, okay. The T word.
The T word, which in my case is literally a four-letter word.
See, and I love when we talk about time, because I can say, honey, did you listen to that episode? Oh, I listened to that episode.
I can't wait. One day, Elaine, we're going to have her on the show, and it's going to be fabulous. Hear that, Elaine? It'll be time for you to come join us.
I'm gonna call in sick that day.
Well, you just go ahead and stay at home, because we will rule that episode. Okay.
That'll be the big ratings grabber.
Right, exactly. Well, okay. So, but today's grabber, if you will, is our topic of time. And I have to say that this episode topic was not optional. And here's why. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Russ, or any of our listeners out there have ever experienced this, but this actually happens to me fairly frequently. And what I mean by that is that I sometimes get bombarded with information from different sources at different times in a very short window of time that give me a lesson that I need to learn. Does that make sense?
It does. And mind you, you deal with clients who are coming to you with their issues with personal and business related issues. So you are going to get bombarded.
I do. But what's interesting about this specific situation and some of the others that have happened with me is it's not actually just coming to me in my business. Like, it's coming to me, like, I might see a Facebook post about it. And at the same time, then I'll be like, oh, I just read an article about that. And then I'll see a blog post. And it won't always be the same message, but it'll be a similar message. And so what has been literally surrounding me lately is this whole message around productivity and how to optimize the time that you have. So essentially, we all have the same 24 hours in the day, and it's how we choose to spend that time that really makes a difference in the quality of our life and the success of our personal and business life.
So far, I'm with you 100% so far.
Oh, and here's the thing. So, I mean, because I'm always in the spirit of full transparency, I do not think it is in any way a coincidence, because A, I don't believe in coincidences, but B, that this is the message that has been coming to me from all sorts of media, people, friends, family,
every
and
angle,
clients.
Every angle.
Every angle. Is because lately, I've been drowning in my to-do list. And it's like, I have literally felt like that everything that I need to get done recently is just up to like where my nose is, which is kind of like not maybe a great visual for everyone, but it's like you're in the water and the water is just like right up to your nose. And that's how I feel with my to-do list. And then as a result of having to move task items from one day to the next day and the next day and not being able to literally scratch them off, because in previous episodes, we've proclaimed, I like to scratch something off my to-do list. So I've really been struggling with this myself lately. And then someone said to me yesterday, well, we teach what we need to learn. So I thought, well, it's no accident that I'm going to be speaking about this today because it's clearly something that I need a refresher course on.
Now, let me put this into perspective also. As you start a business or as you get into something new, you're going to end up taking on more responsibilities. And think about it this way. You've been doing what you do. And then we recently, over the past several months, started doing this radio show. Now, with this radio show comes a lot of responsibility that's poured on your plate. So what you're doing, instead of just getting overwhelmed and then shutting down and then ending up, you know, in the loony bin, you...
Yeah. Been there, done that. No, just kidding.
What you're doing is you're practicing what you preach, and you're saying, okay, this is coming from this end. This is coming from this end. I've got my business. I've got the radio show, all of this and the website. And what you're doing is you're taking that and you're like, all right, put on the brakes, and we've got to set up little increments of time management so I can handle all of this growing business.
Right. And here's the thing. I am grateful beyond belief for the growing pains. And what I'm most excited about, what you mentioned, is this has been the cherry on the top of my work pile sundae, if you will, because it's just, we've been so well received and we've been ingratiated into so many people's lives by listening to us. And that is the whole purpose of what we do, which, yes, I love. But you're not, you know, you're absolutely correct. We don't just show up and, you know, and say, hey,
yeah, yeah. Let's talk for a few minutes here.
Yeah. So all these messages, like, they keep coming at me, and I say, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to this. And in doing so, I actually learned some new tricks myself, because a lot of times when you market yourself and present yourself and believe in yourself as an expert, that you almost think you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
I'm waiting for you to spread the wisdom, girl.
But in this case, yes. So in the course of our episode today, we're going to talk about a couple of different things, because it is all about time, but there are really some different categories of how time and timing can affect our lives in the bigger picture. So what I mean by that is, let's talk about the short picture first, like what's immediately, like what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. So when you're starting up a business, or you're starting up joining a new organization, or just anything that is added to your already existing huge amount of workload or personal responsibilities or anything like that, when anything new gets added, like you said, it just kind of throws everything off into a little bit of a frenzy. And I have the tendency, and I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but when that feeling happens to me, I have the tendency to be like, I have got to hunker down. Like, if the audience could see me right now, Russ, you can. My fists are tight, like little balls. I'm going, you've got to hunker down and get this done and do whatever it takes, 24/7. And that's not a healthy place to be for your emotional, spiritual, physical well-being. But what I've come to find out in reading a bunch of research material on this is that it's actually literally not good for your brain muscle, because concentration is like a muscle, and it has to be rested and it has to regroup in order for it to function, and it has to get oxygen. Uh-huh. And it's just basically like, if you don't take some time away from the hunker down phase of just plowing through things, then you're way more susceptible to burnout, which I have been there. And unfortunately, I've been there twice, and I do not ever plan on being there a third time, because when I
three
say
strikes,
burnout,
you're out,
I'm talking about hardcore burnout, fetal position on the sidewalk of New York City burnout. And so then I started thinking about this idea about time. And actually, it's this whole idea around time is opposed to endurance, right? So because you really have to really train that muscle and treat it like it is a sporting event, let's just say, for example. So you want to win the marathon, so you have to go at a steady pace.
Okay.
And there are times in your life where you really have to sprint. And that's okay. But when you sprint, what do? It's like interval training. You sprint really hard and then you take a break and you get your heart rate back into the order and then you sprint again. So I am encouraging everybody to think about these pockets of workload that they're applying themselves to, like they're sprinting and then they're taking a break and then they're sprinting and they're taking a break. But what I mean by that is on an hour-to-hour basis. I'm not talking about sprinting for 8 straight hours and resting for a half an hour.
Well, think about it. That's not realistic, because if you were actually running a race, it's almost like the tortoise and the hare. But and it's also a balance with quality and quantity, because if you have 2 miles to run and you just you explode off the finish or off the starting line and you just, I mean, you're full power, you're going to be out of steam in no time. Where if you balance it out and rest, everything needs rest. Anything in motion needs rest. So you're on the right track, I think.
Well, but here's my challenge, and I don't think I'm alone in this. Okay, so you read all the materials. It's like you're in this situation. It's like, help me. What can I do differently? This way is not working for me. So when I say I saw this more than once, I mean that I found this coming up to me like about 5 or 6 times in the past week. And what it was is this whole formula around working for 52 minutes at a time and then breaking for 17 minutes.
Now, where did these numbers come up? 52 minutes.
Okay.
And 17 minutes.
I know. Okay. Right. It is this formula, and it has been developed by this group called I'm never going to pronounce this right because my Southern accent's going to kill it, but the Dargium Group.
Okay.
And they have, they used a computer application to track employees' work habits. And specifically, the application measured how much time people spent on various tasks compared to their productivity levels.
Okay, here's my challenge for you to answer this question. All right, so here's you've got the 52 minutes, work for 52 minutes, and then break for 17. First of all, a lot of employers are going to have a huge problem with that. That aside, I set my little iPhone timer for 52 minutes. And I'm working, and I'm in the zone. I'm very productive. Whether I'm doing architecture, whether I'm doing ceramics, or I'm coding for computer coding.
Right.
I'm at that 52 minutes, and my timer goes off. How many people are going to stop at that time and say, you know what? I'm in the zone. I got this. I'm in the groove. But I got to stop right now and take my 17 minute break.
Okay, so I completely agree with you, because that is my life. I had my own consultant one time, and he didn't go on the 52-17 rule, which I have to say is a huge challenge for me. I read this in so many different areas from so many different experts that the key to being the most productive is to work 52 minutes a time and then take a break for 17 minutes before getting back to it. The key to what you're saying in order to make this successful is doing it in a way that ultimately it gets integrated into your work style so that it actually becomes a habit. So yes, what you're saying, I completely agree with, and I had personal experience with, because I was recommended to work 50 minutes and then break for 10 every hour. And I did that for about 3 hours once,
okay.
I think, maybe 2. I'm not sure. So that didn't really work for me, but it didn't work for me because I did not do it consistently over a longer period of time to have it become more of a habit. What I do recommend, so this is the Tracy version of how to work around the 52-17.
And the Tracy
minutes.
Version is easier to pronounce.
It is. It's called Work Up to It. And because just like sports, just like we're talking about, I mean, I've run a half marathon, and I did not start that day running 13 miles,
well, you can.
Right?
You can.
I mean,
you
technically
got, yeah,
it's 13.1, just so you know. But I did not start that day running the 13. I mean, you start, and in some cases, if you're just getting off the couch for the first time, you start with a half a mile, and then you work up, and then ultimately you find yourself crossing the finish line of a half marathon, and you're like, whoa, how did I do that? Because literally, that is how I felt. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And if you know me, like you know me, running a half marathon was not on my to-do list ever.
Yeah, you got to work into it.
So I have been really trying to focus on implementing, because I do not like to talk about things I do not do for myself, because I always like to share my own experience. Plus, I don't want to recommend something that I don't think is attainable. So for me, what I've started doing is I've just started with the 5-minute break, okay? Because I can manage that right now. That doesn't freak me out. That doesn't make me feel like I'm not being productive.
That's a far cry from 17 minutes, though.
It is, but you know what? Running 1 mile is ultimately could lead you to a half marathon.
All right,
so
now,
right now, I got to start in little bitty baby bites of time.
Let me throw this at you. Okay, so you start with 5 minutes and you get comfortable with 5 minutes. How when you're taking 5-minute breaks and you, Mrs. I have to work all the time, you got your 5-minute break, how do you see yourself going from 5 minutes and working up to 17 minutes? And I understand you're going 5 and then maybe you're going, you know, 8 and then 14 and then you work your way up to 17. And I could see how that could work, but tell me how that could work with you.
Okay, well, this conversation is causing me anxiety right now. So here's the thing. I am committed to trying it. I'm not even at the 5-minute mark yet, but what I believe...
Wait, what happened to starting with 5 minutes?
I said starting with the goal of 5 minutes. Did I not say goal? I meant to say goal. Okay, my goal of 5 minutes.
All right, so if your
God,
goal...
God, I'm so busted.
If you're, to me, the goal is 17, and you... Oh. And you should start with 5. So if you're not starting with 5 and you've got a goal of 5, what are you at? Like 30 seconds?
Okay. All right. I lied. I did 3, maybe. But today
that's
I'm going to
do
5.
That's like going to blow your nose.
Well, okay. See the crux of my problem here. All right. So, but in a way to answer your question, which I feel is attainable and honest, is that yes, you're right. So the goal is the 17 minutes, but it's not just about the time. So, see, what I have to do is I'm very logical. So, okay, I understand what the math is to 17 minutes, but why I should do it is a whole nother thing. So, I have to really embrace the fact that there are multiple research studies, multiple experts, multiple productivity professional consultants, if you will, around this whole theory. And so why wouldn't I be willing to trust what they tell me and see if it works for me versus me trying to refigure it my way?
Be open-minded.
Be willing.
What I want to know is with your 3 minutes, are you taking your 3-minute break and you're just kind of like...
pacing?
Yeah, and it's like, all right, come on, 3 minutes, because that's not a rest.
Okay, so the 3 minutes, I probably wasn't... I mean, I was probably pacing, but it probably involved a snack. And then... but the time that I had to try it for 10 minutes, I'm not going to lie, I literally had to set an alarm. But that is okay, because if you set an alarm, then all of a sudden 10 minutes... becomes easy to do, and then you raise it up. So we're going to move on from that because I could literally talk about it for the entire episode.
This is a show of its own.
And we're also going to move on about it because I'm starting to sweat and my hands are shaking. So I kind of want to switch gears into something a little bit more warm and fuzzy.
Let me turn the fan on for you.
Yes, please. Oh, my God. And this is not about being 48. This is just about this topic. Okay. All right, so I want to switch gears for a moment to just get myself off the hot seat, literally, and talk about how this increment, so we're talking about productivity increments. We fully covered that one for now. And I want to talk about increments of time in relation to big life decisions and impact on your future path and where your future is headed. And that sounds very philosophical and kind of serious, but it, at the same time, there's a lot of really interesting philosophies, if you will, around these small bite-sized pieces of time. And I'm talking about like 10-second, 20-second type increments.
Okay.
And the first that comes to mind is about endurance. So this does actually piggyback what we just talked about, because you, in order to meet a goal, you need to have the endurance to see it all the way through. So one of the, now don't laugh where I got this from, but I'm telling you, these messages came from me from everywhere, right? So okay. Tina Fey has this new show out, and I'm a big Tina Fey fan. She has this new show out called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, well, I had not heard of it either until one of my clients told me about it last Friday. And so Friday night, I watched it. I think it's on like Netflix or something. And in this episode, it's the pilot episode, and she is talking about the fact that she, in her childhood, she was literally imprisoned in a really difficult situation that she couldn't get out of.
I did hear about that with her.
Yeah. So someone was asking her how she got through it. And she said, I got through it 10 seconds at a time. And so she said she would count to 10 seconds and then she would start over. So if she was having to do a chore or she was having to, you know, work through a challenge that wasn't interesting or fun to her at the moment, she would count to 10 and then she would start counting to 10 again. So she put together these 10 seconds increments of time until ultimately she was able to overcome or complete or fulfill the task that was at hand. So I'm not imprisoned in a bunker today. However, I have been literally imprisoned in my mind with things like this.
And many people are.
It really struck me, this whole idea of like anybody can do anything for 10 seconds. I mean, anything for 10 seconds. And so if you just count to 10 and then start counting to 10 over and you put these 10 consecutive seconds together, then you can get to the other side of your goal. So I know it's coming from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but I did think that it was very good insight. And what it reminded me of, have you ever seen the movie We Bought a Zoo?
I saw parts of it. I did not see the whole thing.
Well, I saw it a long time ago, and it's one of those things, when I saw it, and it wasn't just because George Clooney was in it, but when I saw it, I mean, that was an added bonus, I'm not going to lie, but it was at a time in my life where I needed to make a very big decision, and it was a personal decision, and the decision was a matter of my emotional and physical well-being versus... Like, basically, it was a self-care decision. I don't need to even go into any of the specific details because we all have self-care decisions that we need to make based on certain circumstances. This was a big one for me. And as I've shared before on our show, I'm not a big fan of confrontation. Just don't really like it. Exactly. Who is, right? Yeah. But you have to have conflict in order to have growth. And in business, I have no issues with conflict and confrontation because I know what it takes to be successful. In my personal life, conflict and confrontation has been a lot more challenging for me. So I saw this movie a few years ago. It's probably around like 2010, maybe. I don't know when it came out. But the quote in this movie, and what it said was, all it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage to change your life. Okay, I'm going to say it again. All it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage to change your life. So when they first said that in the movie, I was like, what? Like, it just didn't compute to me at all. But what the implications and what the intention behind the quote is that you just need to muster up 20 seconds to start a conversation. And that was what was happening to me in that period of time in my life. I needed to have a very important conversation that was going to be life-changing for me in a way to take care of myself.
Right.
And I could not muster up the courage to start the conversation. And when I saw that movie, I was like, it's kind of like that whole idea of ripping the Band-Aid off. You know, it's like, once you rip the Band-Aid off, you got to keep going.
Right.
So,
all right, now give me a quick example, though.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so in the movie, this is a really cute example, and it's a positive, warm and fuzzy. So in the movie, the guy, George Clooney, ladies, he is walking past a diner and he sees his future wife sitting at the table in the diner. Now, I'm pulling this from memory from like six years ago. Right. So this might not be the exact scene, but it's something similar. It's how I remember it. And he saw her saw her through the window, and like immediately he was like, she's the one. I mean, total stranger. She's the one.
I was going to say he had not met her yet.
Never met her. And he just was like struck by her awe and beauty when he was walking by the diner's window. So he could have kept going, but he was just compelled. He just really wanted to ask her out. So he said that to himself, it's only going to take 20 seconds of courage for me to ask the question. And she might say yes or she might say no. So he goes into the diner, and I really don't remember whether he just walked up to her and asked her out, which I'm certain today that would be pretty creepy.
She's going
to
watch the movie today.
But, yeah, but maybe, I don't know how it happened, but maybe they introduced themselves and had coffee together or something. But the 20 seconds came when he had to actually put it up there and asked for her to go out with him. And then the rest of the story was hugely romantic, and they met, got married, and had children. And there the movie goes, We Bought a Zoo.
So if he didn't muster up that 20 seconds, he would have gone a totally different path.
His life would have gone in a totally different path. So this actually can be applicable in, let's say that you are really ready to make a change in your professional career. Like in your business world, let's say, you know, you have gotten all your ducks in a row and you really feel confident that now's your time, but there's never a right time. Have you ever been in that situation? No matter whether it's business or personal.
Several times.
It's like, you're ready, it's your time, but there's never a good time. Like personally, it might be, oh, well, they're going to have a birthday next week. Or, oh, well, let's just get through this family function before I drop the bomb. or in work, it's like, oh, we're in the middle of this big project. I can't leave right now. The world will fall apart. And so it's never really the right time.
A lot of it is procrastination and fear.
It's all about the fear, which leads to the procrastination, which leads to you not making a change.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So to use your air quotes, it's never the quote unquote
right time.
So I adopted this 20 seconds of courage quote from the movie, and I have used it frequently since, not frequently, because hopefully I don't have to make a huge amount of life decisions of self-care these days, but in those moments I use it. But I also help my clients in a way that they can use it too, because it can even be so simple as picking up the call and making the call to that big box retailer when you just have your product and you know it's a perfect fit for them. 20 seconds of courage. Like the phone weighs 150 pounds, but hey, hits the send button on that email, pick up the phone, make that phone call. It's all just this little small increment of time that if you walk through it could make a huge open up possibilities beyond belief. And I just think that is one of the coolest things. And I wish it was my own idea, but adopting it.
So before we roll on to Tracy's takeaways, we've got 10 seconds for endurance, 20 seconds to make the change. We're ripping the Band-Aid off. Where do we go from there?
Okay, well, now here is the crux of the frustration. So you've got 10 minutes. Okay,
it's always a crux.
Let's do it this way. You've got 20 seconds of courage to ask for what you need or ask for the change. And then you need to practice the 10 seconds of endurance over and over, because most people want instant gratification when they choose to make a change. So, hey, I haven't smoked in a day, so I've quit smoking. Or I want to lose 50 pounds, so I didn't eat sugar today. So, you know, I have $50. I've just put it into the stock market. Why am I not a millionaire?
Right, yeah.
You know, everybody wants
instant
gratification. However, 90 days. Okay, so we've gone from 10 seconds, 20 seconds.
Not 90 seconds.
Not 90 seconds, right. 90 days.
90 days.
That you have to allow yourself, and I say allow yourself in the terms of allowing yourself, giving yourself permission, accepting, whatever word you want to choose that feels right for you, but you need to allow yourself 90 days to really see a difference, because it takes approximately 3 consecutive months.
Wow.
So for me, I'm going to have to practice 52 on and 17 off for 90 consecutive days. It's going to take me 10 seconds at a time to do it. And then it's just going to take me 20 seconds of courage to even start.
You got to be a math guru when you're practicing all this.
Absolutely. But trust me to tell you, these points, as simplified as they may sound, if you connect those dots all together, they can make a life-changing impact on the path that you are currently on, or open up a completely new path to take you places you wouldn't even believe you can go. So how do we do that, right? So it's you know, we talk a lot about you should do this, you can do this, go team.
I think I can.
So the takeaways today are focused on exactly some tips of how to do this. Okay. So, oh, and by the way, in the Forbes article, I love this. It says that the 8-hour workday is not working for people anymore. And I had no idea of this, and I don't know if you knew this or not, Russ, but the 8-hour workday was created during the Industrial Revolution as an effort to cut down on the number of hours of manual labor that workers were forced to endure on a factory floor.
Like, interesting.
That's how the 8-hour workday even started.
So,
and now
so folks,
it's like,
folks were working over 8 hours a day on the factory floor. They brought it down to 8, and now look at us now. Even though we're not working on the factory floor, we're working 25 hours a day.
Oh, and yeah, I mean, and Tim Ferriss, you know, like made all this, you know, huge brand around the 4-hour work week. But how many people read the book and actually do what he says to do, right? Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you small, tangible action steps. You don't have to read the book. You just have to listen for the next few minutes. And so one of them is that the whole idea, you know, Nike has the whole idea about just do it.
Just do it.
You can do it. Just do it. Okay. So I agree with that in terms of like when you identify what it is that you need to do, you want to just do it. However, I would like people to start integrating a don't do it list as opposed to a to-do list. And what I mean by that is there are only, like I said, only so much time in the day, and a lot of what you choose in your day will affect your health, your happiness, and define you by what you are and what you want to do, not necessarily by what you do.
Right.
So, does that make sense?
It does.
It feels almost like a riddle. Okay. And so, downtime is really a key. And I can really speak to this because it's a big challenge for me. So, just create yourself a don't do list, like don't work 24/7. Don't not take a break. You see what I'm saying with that? Okay.
Yeah.
It's clear enough. Okay. So this is also a really interesting one. Most people do their best thinking in the shower. And so I have read about a blogger actually recommended this when I was doing the show prep reading, that in your schedule to block off the 15 minutes that you, so if you take your shower at 8:30 or whatever, to block off 15 minutes for yourself when you get out of the shower and write down all of the things that you think of while you're in the shower, because you're having downtime for like, you know, however long it takes you to take a shower, and you want to put down your creative ideas after that. Because I'm always like, oh, I'm going to remember that.
Oh, but you don't.
But you don't remember it until you write it down.
You know, it's funny because everybody needs their downtime, and I could have a morning that I wake up and it's like, oh my gosh, I am so slammed today, but come right around the noon hour, I've got to do some kind of exercise, whether it be hit the gym for 45 minutes or go out and bike ride. And let me tell you something, that is therapy in itself. And the ideas, the creative ideas that I come up with while I'm out riding or at the gym, it's unbelievable. So and on top of it, I'm getting healthy, or I'm keeping myself healthy. So however you do it, find your way to get that downtime.
Exactly. And one of the things I just want to throw in on top of that is that I refuse to put my music for running on my iPhone. I specifically keep it on my iPod because I do not want the technical notifications and the emails and all that disturbing me, for the exact reason you just said, because that is like a time where I'm like so creative and have my music on. So the stop doing it list, the don't do it list, that is just something, if you don't take anything away other than that away from this episode, that I want you to take to try that out in the increments of time. But I also want to leave you with this one set of permission guidelines, if you will. And that is, we have talked a lot today about how other people manage their time, increase their productivity, how we make life changes. But you are a unique person, and what works
for me.
Oh, well, I mean, you're incredibly unique, but we all are, right? So the thing about it is that all these recommendations and all the things that, you read, you hear about, we shared with you today, they all are suggestions, but you are an individual, so you need to adapt them for what works for you. Because if it's not going to work for you, you're never going to make it to that 90 days, and you're never going to see the change.
This was one of those episodes where I am mentally exhausted, because we could have gone on.
There's so much
more we can cover. There may have to be a continuation here. Now, before we close out the show today, I want to share with you another awesome comment left by one of our listeners. This last episode, I think we were talking about a listener from Ireland. A little more on our side of the pond. This is from Kelly in Atlanta. She says, just listen to your Courage to Change episode. I loved every bit of it. You are an inspiration to me. And Tracy, you're the inspiration. I'm just using this show as a vehicle to get you, to get my wife better time management.
Yeah, you're my springboard to inspiration and your way to get out of the doghouse.
Exactly. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We are so glad to hang out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to Their radio show, and we are finishing on time. Yes? Did we use our time wisely? Excellent.
We did. Thanks.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.